Canto 6, Chapter 13, Verses 1 and 2. Sri Suka Uvacha Pritehate Trayoloka Vina Sakrena Burida Sapala Yabavan Sadyo Vidvara Nirvitendriyaha. Sri Suka Uvacha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Vitrehate. When Vitrasura was killed, Traya Loka, the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower, Vina, except Sakrena, Indra, who is also called Sakra, Burida, O Maharaj Parikshit, giver of great charity, Safala, with the rulers of the various planets, he, indeed, Abhavan, became Sadhya, immediately, Virjwala, without fear of death, Nirvita, very much pleased, Indriyaha, whose senses. Translation, Sri Sukadev Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, who are so charitably disposed, when Vitrasura was killed, all the presiding deities and everyone else in the three planetary systems was immediately pleased and free from trouble, everyone, that is, except Indra. Verse number 2, Devarsi Pratir Bhutani Daitya Deva Nuga Swayam Prati Jagmu Swadishnanyani Brahmesendra Dayastataha. Translation, thereafter the demigods, the great saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pritirloka and Bhutaloka, the demons, the followers of the demigods, and also Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the demigods subordinate to Indra, all returned to their respective homes. While departing, however, no one spoke to Indra. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Pramesanendraya iti indriyaswadishnaganaman nopadadyate vatravadam shananeva brahmahatyopadravapate tasmatatar ityanena manaso sarovara agatya paratitar avasmedat parata iti vyakye kriyam vakyakyam. All right, you got that? Okay. Translate it for me. Okay. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the other demigods returned to their respective abodes, but Indra did not, for he was disturbed at having killed Vitrasura, who was actually a Brahmana. After killing Vitrasura, Indra went to Manasarovara Lake to become free from sinful reactions. When he left the lake, he performed the Ashvamedha Yajna and then returned to his own abode. Om Gyan Timirandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksa Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Maho Bistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganad Raganatam Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Vandu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Brindavaneshwari, Rikabanu Suti Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Pancha Kaupa Taruvischa, Kripa Sindhu Paevacha, Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namaho Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So not only was Pitrasura a Brahmana, he was actually a pure devotee of the Lord. Although in a demon body, this is the most amazing section of the Bhagavatam, where you find someone who is so spiritually advanced in a demoniac body. Of course, the story goes all the way back to Chitraketu, when Chitraketu left after everything, after his son was poisoned by one of his wives. He left and became the great Chitraketu, traveling around the universe. He had his own little airplane, singing the glories of the Lord. Comes upon a interesting scene at the hill, at the base of Mount Mandara, I believe. And all the sages and saints, can we shut these lights off? These lights don't have to be on, do they? All the great sages and saints, they were there having a great discussion on various philosophical topics, and Lord Shiva was the predominating personality. But Lord Shiva was in a situation which is conducive to Shiva, but not anyone else. Shiva's not easy to understand. In fact, he's very difficult to understand. And he always follows his own rules and regulations, but he always acts for the benefit of others. But he has his personality. And his personality is that he wanted to be with his wife. So his wife was sitting right on his lap during the discussion, and he was the presiding person. So no one took any exception with that or even felt unhappy about it. But when Chitraketu came, he saw the situation and he laughed. He thought it was quite unusual. But at the same time, he wasn't laughing in a derisive way. He wasn't criticizing. He was simply seeing it was kind of humorous to have Lord Shiva was sitting with his consort on his lap, and all these great sages, including Lord Brahma and all the demigods, were there. Lord Shiva understood the mind of Chitraketu and didn't at all become distracted or disturbed, but Parvati did. And she immediately started to speak to Chitraketu and started to chastise him, thinking that he knows better than all these great sages and saints who were sitting there who had no problems with the situation, but you seem to have a problem. And so she was quite upset, and so she decided to curse him, and she has the power, and she is the personification of the material energy. She's Shakti, and she can destroy universes. she's very powerful. She's the material energy personified, and she has great power. She sometimes takes other forms to fight against the demons and destroys the demons all by herself. Therefore, she cursed him to go to hell. Now, Shiva kind of intervened at that point. When Chitraketu was cursed to go to hell, he didn't feel at all slighted or offended or unhappy. He said, "Mother, if this is what you want, then I accept." And he offered his obeisances with folded hands at her lotus feet. Everyone was quite surprised at how he reacted to this, but especially Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva started to glorify the great devotees of Lord Vishnu. And he spoke one verse. I can't remember the verse, but it's in that section. Is that the devotees of the Lord, no matter where they are like a compass. In order to synchronize the compass, you always point it on the northern direction. And then you know where you are. So, means that they're focused in one way. So wherever the devotees of the Lord are, they always remember the Lord. And for them, heaven and hell are all the same. Why? Because they're always remembering Krishna. So heaven is hell, or hell is heaven, without Krishna. And with Krishna, there's no such thing as heaven and hell. So he was fixed on that. And what is that verse? Who can remember the first line? Famous. No, no, it's a different one. Tuyartha was one of the words in there. It's in the fourth canto and in that section. I can't remember the verse. Famous verse, which is quoted a lot by Srila Prabhupada. And so when Shiva started to glorify the devotee, actually Parvati felt a little bad. But a curse can never be rescinded or canceled. It can be modified. So he was sent to hell, but he had the option to always remember who he was, a great devotee of the Lord. So he took the form of Vitrasura, and that's a whole story how he received that body. But he always knew he was a devotee of Krishna. And he focused his consciousness always on Krishna. Now he's fighting with Indra. And he could have killed Indra. There would have been no problem. He was such a powerful demon. But he let Indra beat him. Why? Because he wanted to die to go back to Godhead. He wanted to get out of that demoniac body. But Indra understood that this person is not only, he's quite an interesting person, but he's a brahmana. And every day we sing, Yani kani cha papani brahmahat adikani cha tani tani parasyanti praksana pade pade brahmahatya. So in that chanting of circumambulating Tulsi Devi, it says brahmahat. So by circumambulating Tulsi Devi, one can be even free from the killing of a Brahmin, which is considered the greatest of all sins. So nobody's talking to him. He worked so hard to protect the heavenly planets against the demons headed by Vritrasura. And all the demigods were on his side, but now, when it's all over, they just left and nobody said anything to Indra. Indra knew, I'm in trouble. Not only did I kill a great devotee, I'm a Brahmin, but I killed a great devotee of the Lord. But actually he didn't. It was the will of the Lord that Indra would win, so Vritrasura could attain the spiritual world. So now Indra is overwhelmed with remorse, and he has to figure out what to do. He has a very difficult service, Indra. He seems to be getting himself in trouble a lot. He has to manage the heavenly planets. And in managing the heavenly planets means that, you know, everyone is a great devotee, but not everybody is a pure devotee. They're all great devotees, or they're very pious people who have come there who are not demigods. But still, sense gratification is very powerful on the heavenly planet. Prabhupada used to say that the sense gratification on the heavenly planets will make this sense gratification look like some kind of suffering here. And he would always say, the women on the heavenly planets are so beautiful that even the beautiful women here on this earth look like horses compared to the heavenly damsels. So when you read about the heavenly planets, you start to think, oh, nice place to go, right? Everything is nice. The women are so beautiful, so charming. They sing so sweetly. There's opulence. Everything is there. There's longevity of life. Hardly anyone gets sick. Nobody gets sick, actually. Everything is there in a material sense at the best. But the thing is, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Purna Vritta Arjuna Mamupeti Purna Janmana Vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world to the lowest, all are places of misery. Why? Because there are birth and death. For the soul to take birth is unnatural. For the soul to die is unnatural. The soul is eternal. But it accepts a material body and becomes influenced by that material body, thinking, I'm born and I'm die. These are my family members. This is my society. This is my activities in this world. And everyone centers their life all around that. But this is all part of the illusion of the material energy, because if one wants to enjoy separate from Krishna, one has to accept this compromised position and struggle with them. But the soul is eternal. So Indra, he has a difficult job, because there's so much opulence in the heavenly planets, and he has to manage, and he also has a lot of opulence himself. You know, he's surrounded, I mean, so much wealth. Kuvera's there, one of the demigods. He's so wealthy that, you know, we can't imagine the wealth of Kuvera. It's not impossible. You could put all the wealth of this planet together, it wouldn't even be one-tenth of the wealth of Kuvera. Kuvera is so wealthy. He's actually so wealthy that he actually lent Krishna some money. Krishna needed some money. When he came to the material world, he came as a poor person. There's one incarnation of the Lord called Srinivas. And this is the whole story of Brigamuni. When Brigamuni kicked the chest of Lord Vishnu, Lakshmi became super angry and cursed the Brahmanas. But not only did she did that, she left. She came to the material world and left. Now Vishnu is without his consort Lakshmi. So in order to get her back, he decides to go to the material world as a poor person to try to find Lakshmi and bring her back to the Svetadvipa, which is the spiritual planet in the material world. It's a beautiful story, and it all ends with the whole story of Tirupati temple. The whole story takes about an hour to narrate, and it's quite wonderful how Srinivas is trying to find Lakshmi, how she takes birth in different families. He can't seem to find her. How he lives in the hole in the ground, and one cow starts to feed him by pouring their milk into the hole. The person who owns the cow is thinking this cow is wasting all the milk, so he gets angry and tries to kill the cow. But Srinivas stops him and somehow takes the blow on himself. It's a really interesting story. And finally he meets Lakshmi, and he wanted to get married. They came back together. But because he's a poor Brahmana, he has no money. So he goes to Kuvera and says, Kuvera, I need some money. And Kuvera says, all right, but I will give you money. I will give you whatever wealth you need, but you have to pay me back with interest. Not a straight loan. And so he gives Krishna, and they have a beautiful wedding. And it's a grand wedding. She's Mahalakshmi. If you go to Kolhapur in India, there's a temple called Mahalakshmi Temple. It's a compound. It's not just a temple. It's an amazing place. It's a place called Kolhapur, which is in Maharashtra. Jai Sisi Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. Have you anybody been to Mahalakshmi Temple in Kolhapur? It's an amazing place. It's a huge compound. But every year, a so-called miracle happens. It happens the same time every year, and thousands of pilgrims come to watch this. It's also broadcast on TV. What is it? That Mahalakshmi sits within her temple, and she's on the most inner chamber of the temple. And the temple is huge, and you can only see her from if you go inside. If you're outside, there's long distance halls that come from four sides that show La Mahalakshmi from four different angles. But on one side is the eastern side where the sun rises. So every year, January 29th, 30th and 31st, sometimes it's 30th, 31st and 1st, Vishnu comes to visit Mahalakshmi. And so the way the temple is, the sun cannot get into the temple. But on this particular day, these days, the sun angles itself in such a way that the first day the rays of the sun go right into the temple, onto the lotus feet of Mahalakshmi. The second day, the sun rays raise up to her middle section. The third day, the rays go up to her face. And after that, the sun disappears. It's still in the sky, but it gives his darshan. He's the husband of Mahalakshmi, so his wife gets a 3-day darshan from her husband. For these 3 days every year, it's amazing. I've been there. I've seen it. I've stand there and watched the whole thing. It happens every year. Everybody comes for that particular darshan. And then Vishnu, with Narayan, because the sun is Surya Narayan. It's not only Surya, but it's also Surya Narayan. So Lord Narayan comes to see Mahalakshmi 3 days a year. So that temple was actually inaugurated right around the same time of this pastime. Now Mahalakshmi is married to Srinivas, who's taken the form of Balaji, who's in Tirupati. Now that temple of Tirupati is an amazing temple. Haven't you been to Tirupati? Yeah, really. To get there, you have to climb way up. Did you walk all the way up, or did you drive?
I didn't walk, I drove.
You drove up. I think there's 300 and some steps to get up to the top. The hill itself, where Tirupati is, it's called Tirumala Hill. And it's actually the spiritual world, it's Vaikuntha. Because I had an experience. They say that it's the spiritual world when you're on that hill. And when I came off the hill after being on there, I noticed the whole energy just significantly, radically changed. You don't experience it so much when you go, but when you come off it, you feel the difference, like I just left the spiritual world. Amazing place. So Balaji, or Vantekeshwar, that's Krishna, who came as Srinivas, and he took that form after marrying Mahalakshmi after this wonderful pastime. That temple is the richest temple in the world. People give crores and crores of rupees as donations to that temple. Why? Because the Lord has to pay back Kuvera. So everyone is understood that if you want to do seva to Srinivas or to Balaji, you should give Lakshmi. Now they have a room. The room is about from the pillar here to the wall. It's about that size, yeah. And it's a glass in front of it. And it's on the Parikram path, because when you do Parikram inside the temple, there's a room where 8 Brahmins sit there all day just counting money. And you can watch them. There's big stacks of like money all around them like this, and they're just counting money all day. Because it all goes to Balaji. It's very opulent deity, and yeah, I mean, yeah, there's so many opportunities, and of course it's part of a larger compound. There are other deities in the area. And when you go on your way up there, there's so many places you can stop, take darshan of some devas and other manifestations of Krishna's expansions. But there was one story where one man, he came to give a gift to Balaji, and it was a very, very, very valuable gold ring. He came and he donated it to Balaji. Very, very valuable gold ring. One of the pujaris started to think, ah, this ring is so nice. Nobody will know it. Took the ring. Now he has the ring and he's thinking what to do with it. And he's thinking, I want to bring it to a jeweler shop and get some money for it. But I can't really do it in this area here because I'll probably get caught. So he goes 100 miles, not kilometers, 100 miles away and finds a remote town somewhere 100 miles away. And he goes and he finds a nice jewelry shop in that town. Interesting story. He walks into the jewelry shop. He has the ring. He comes to the jeweler who's there and he shows him the ring and he asks him, how much will you give me for this ring? The jeweler becomes, his eyes get big. He said, where did you get that ring? That's the ring I gave to Balaji. Caught. Don't try to steal from Krishna. So he was caught. So Krishna led him exactly where he was supposed to go. It's an interesting story. So yeah, it's a very mystical place. And so we have a temple. We have a temple which is it's Shishi Radha Govinda with Astasaki. There are the eight Sakis along with Radharani and Govinda. And it's a beautiful temple that we built. The devotees built that simply by book distribution. It's huge. And we have nice relationships with Tirupati Temple. We go there, their priests come here. In fact, their priests did, they sent 30 of their priests to come to the opening of our temple in 2007. And the head priest came and did the whole puja. And also the guru of the whole area, he also came after to see who these Hare Krishnas. When he learned that his priests were going to do the, you know, yagyas. So it's a it's a wonderful story how that temple manifested in this wonderful pastime like that. So, yeah, so to cause offense to a Brahmin is the greatest offense. But higher than the Brahmin is the Vaishnava. A Brahma is still part of the Vanashram system. A Brahmana is considered to be the leader of society. And Brahminical culture is the foundation by which Krishna consciousness works. Mm-hmm. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described that there are three things that make up a perfect society. One is Brahminical culture. Two is cow protection, and three is God consciousness or devotional activity. These three together make up the perfect society. So what is Brahminical culture? That culture which teaches people the process by which one can fulfill all their desires in a material way nicely, according to what we say, the mode of goodness, and practice the process of Krishna consciousness. Brahminical culture is, a Brahmin by nature does six things. Patan, 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 yajan, yajan, dana, pratigraha. A Brahmana knows the Shastras and can teach the Shastras. A Brahmana worships the Lord in the form of the deity and can teach others to do the same. A Brahmana gives in charity and accepts charitable gifts. These are the six activities of a Brahmana. So by practicing these six activities, we create the Brahminical culture. And of course, there's rules and regulations of conduct, which also go along with Brahminical culture. So Prabhupada wanted to establish Brahminical culture as the foundation for our practice of Krishna consciousness. But he knew it was difficult, because everyone was not trained. Because in order for Brahminical culture to really take off, one has to have exposure to the samskaras. The samskaras are the different stages by which one purifies their existence from the time, even before their birth, all the way up to the time they depart. And there's 16 samskaras. There's 10 prominent samskaras like that. And one of the most important samskaram is the Garbhadan samskaram, by which to bring a child into the world, one has to practice certain principles before uniting with one's wife in such a way that a good soul comes into the womb. And then when that good soul comes, then one can gradually guide that soul in the process of Krishna consciousness. People nowadays don't follow any rules and regulations. They just unite, as Prabhupada uses the word, just like cats and dogs. And what happens? They call in souls from lower planets because of this breaking of this principle. And sometimes you see the children born in our society are quite vicious and wild, because they're actually souls coming from lower places in the universe, and they take birth. And this planet has been somewhat of a breeding ground for that, because people no longer follow the Vedic culture or any kind of culture. And so you have Varna Sankara. Varna Sankara means unwanted population. And when you have unwanted population, you have a lot of social unrest. Especially we've seen that in country, big, highly industrial countries like America, where kids are coming into their classrooms and just killing their teachers, killing their fellow students like that. So far, every year, there's at least 7 to 10 incidents where people come and just shoot each other for no reason. Because these are persons who were born coming from lower existence. Many of them even have demoniac natures, and they take birth on this planet. So this planet, as a unit, is a balance between Sukriti and Duskriti, or in other words, pious activities and impious activity. So this is called the middle planet. So the karma of this particular planet is somewhat balanced between pious and impious. But now it's changing. Over the last 50 years, there is a decrease in piety and an increase in impiety due to the sinful lives of the people, mostly because of the highly industrial revolution, which propagates sinful activities as a way of life. But at the same time, because of the birth of the Krishna consciousness movement within the world, there is an upsurge of not only piety, but devotion. So now what's happening on this planet, it's interesting, because there used to be a group of people who were pious and a group of people who were impious. In the middle people, there was a larger group, which were, what we say, in between. balance. Now what you have is an increase of piety and an increase of impiety and a decrease of the middle. So you're going to see that more and more now. There's going to be more and more devotees, and there's going to be more and more demons. Like that. And then after a while, when it gets to a certain level, and then you have, hellish situations. And Prabhupada said the next war will be between demons and demons. The demons will become so powerful that they'll fight with each other, and then after the war, then Prabhupada said that the devotees will have a good opportunity for preaching. So preaching will be good after the war. And then he said the next war will be between demons and devotees. Devotees won't get involved in any kind of political activity for a while yet. But because the devotees are too small in number, but our numbers will grow as Lord Chaitanya's movement continues to expand around the world. So it's a great future. We're in an interesting time in history. There's an old Chinese curse. It says, "May you be born in interesting times." It's a curse because they say, no peace. So don't try to be peaceful in this age. Just try to be Krishna conscious. That means we have to really fight against this demoniac culture by preaching very vigorously. By doing book distribution, especially by doing Harinam and various other programs to get more and more of these people who are in the middle to bring them closer to Krishna consciousness, because people are looking for something nowadays. A lot of people are fed up with material existence, but they have no alternative. So now Krishna consciousness is in a good situation to really, really bring people in, because the world is going through some difficult situations. There's always some social or political unrest on the horizon ready to explode. So this is it's a wonderful time for preaching. It's a wonderful time for preaching. And if we continue trying to bring as many devotees in, then Lord Chaitanya will be pleased. And the devotees have nothing to fear, because Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nrisimhadeva are protecting this movement from the demons. The devotees cannot be touched by the demons. We have nothing to worry about. The only concern is how to preach Krishna consciousness. To make it in such a way that people want to come, and when they come, give them a chance to practice, train them in Krishna consciousness, give them some service, educate them in the philosophical teachings, and gradually our movement will become greater and greater all around the world. It's already happening in many places. Krishna consciousness is expanding fast. If you just do a little search, you'll see how many places devoted people are increasing more and more and more. But still, the demons are still very much in control, in the sense that they still have the power to influence people by their propaganda. That way we have to make vigorous propaganda to counteract that. They control the media, they control the they control the political systems, they control the entertainment industry. So through these different agencies, they propagate demoniac principles like that. So you see, as society goes on and on, people are living a more sinful life, and it's considered to be acceptable because the demons have taken over people's minds like that. In some places around the world, they have restaurants where they serve aborted fetuses. So when they have abortion, they take a fetus that is somewhat, and then they use it, and they can cook it and serve it, and it's considered to be a delicacy, in certain places. So this is Rakshasa society, like that. I could go on and describe what's happening on, but I don't think you want to hear all this crazy stuff. But things are bright for the devotees, because as long as we keep strong in our sadhana and propagate book distribution and Harinam, these are the two things that are our strength in bringing Krishna consciousness in the world. Flood the world with these books and continue to have Harinam Sankirtan like that. And have really open up restaurants and bring more and more people in through prasadam also. Prasadam is a very powerful way to bring in the masses like that. And you can turn your restaurants into what we say preaching. If you have a restaurant and you also hold programs at the restaurant, and then people come, they learn that, oh, this restaurant also has these nice cultural programs about spiritual life. Restaurants are also opportunities to use them for preaching. So our whole life is to preach. We're not coming here to make a nice arrangement. We come to preach, really, that's all. Okay, so, and the demons, they simply work on fearful propaganda. They have no real substance of their own. They can't really attract people except through sinful activities, that's all. And Prabhupada said, you know, the demons will be destroyed and the devotees will ultimately win. But it might take a few decades. So if you're still young, stick around. Us old guys, we don't know where we'll be. But as that temple in Mayapur, the TOVP, becomes built, it says that as soon as that temple is built, Krishna consciousness will spread fast through the world. That build that temple there, and that will change the face of the whole Krishna consciousness process. Very important project. It's predicted by Lord Nityananda himself that from that temple, the whole world will change. Okay, so just a little bit of the fighting spirit. Because we like to fight anyway, so if we fight in the right way, it's good. Any questions or comments? Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.